this new podcast that you mentioned. We've grown it from just on Swarbrick Live, SB Live Sports. We've joined it up with the Believe Podcast Network. So I've been busy during quarantine, but we're all healthy and everything is good. Hopefully the same for you as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No complaints here. So I'm kind of curious. I was going through, and one of the highlights I pulled was from January of 2005. You were playing for New Orleans against Portland, and it was a night where you, Nick Van Exel, and Damon Stoudemire put on a three-point clinic. Damon hit 8 of 16. Nick hit 7 of 12. You hit 6 of 9. Do you remember that game? You know the game I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I remember that game well. I should have shot it more, that's for sure. I think that was Damon's career high. I think he had like 52. And it was interesting because it's the only game in NBA history where somebody has scored over 50 points without grabbing a single rebound. And that's due to Stoudemire that night. But yeah, that was a fun game, though. That was, you know, you bringing that up brings back some good memories for sure.
By the way, I know you were born in Portland. You went to high school just over the border in Washington at Prairie High. So were you a Blazer house? Did you go Sonics, or was there another NBA loyalty?
No, I was a Blazer fan through and through. Yeah, I grew up, as you mentioned, I was born in Portland. In second grade, we moved just across the river to Vancouver. But, you know, I grew up when the Memorial Coliseum had seated 12,666 people, and it had all those sellouts, and they were tough tickets. So I would, before the Rose Garden, and I know it's called something else now, but to me it's always going to be the Rose Garden. before that, I would always get one pair of tickets and get to go to one Blazer game a year, and so that was special. So, you know, fast forward all these years, you know, I'm lucky enough and disappointed enough to say that I got fired by my hometown team, a team that I dreamed of being a part of as a kid. I got fired from them three times, twice traded, and then a third time I was not retained as a head coach when Terry Stotts took over right after the lockout shortened season.
Yeah, but that game that Stoudemire scored 50-something, you did beat him, so you had that going for you.
I did, yes, you're right.
Talking with Dan Dickow, so you started your college career with the Huskies. You got hurt as a sophomore, transferred to Gonzaga. And, you know, at the time, the Zags had made that Elite Eight run, and I was kind of curious what was so attractive then, relatively new coach in Mark Few. I mean, there was no way you could have foreseen the absolute dominating beast they would grow into.
Yeah, you're right in saying there was no way to foresee it. But, you know, at the same time, in high school at that time, you know, I had big goals. I had big dreams. I wanted to play in the NBA. And anybody at that time, especially being a guard, knew that you needed to go to a Pac-10, which is now Pac-12 school. And so, unfortunately, I kind of fell into that thinking and started my career at Washington. But as I was kind of going through my first two years at UW, I saw the growth of Gonzaga, and a lot of that growth happened with friends of mine. Richie Fromm was a workout buddy, and we were AAU teammates for 1 year in high school. Zach Gord was a high school teammate who redshirted that Elite Eight year. Casey Calvary, who had that big tip-in against Florida to send him to the Elite Eight, was an AAU teammate of mine as well. So I knew the program well, and when I got hurt midway through my sophomore year at UW and kind of knew I was going to transfer, I started talking with those guys quite a bit. And I started really kind of setting the ball in motion, like, hey, if I transfer, where do I want to go? And my mind kept coming back to Gonzaga after talking to these guys, after seeing the evolution of their career and seeing the trajectory of the program. And then all of a sudden they get to the Elite Eight, and I'm like, holy cow, that's exactly what I want to be a part of. And lo and behold, and luckily, everything worked out for me.
Yeah, I would say becoming an All-American, making two NCAA tournament runs, and having an NBA career would seem to fall into your plans. Good stuff. Talking with Dan Dickow. Now, you've had some terrific guests on the podcast. Just this past week alone, Caron Butler, a fascinating guy who started life with a bunch of strikes against him, ended up going to UConn, long NBA career. You were both first round picks in 2002, and I got a good laugh. I think it was described in the write-up as the incident. You're playing the Lakers. You guys got tangled up a bit, and Dan, safe to say things got a little testy between you two.
Yeah, that's right. So, Caron was a guest on our ISO podcast that we released a week or so ago, and yeah, I had a turnover towards the end of the first half, and as a lot of good point guards do when they turn over, they get frustrated. So I thought maybe the quickest thing would be to do is to take a quick foul and not let them, get an easy bucket down the other way before the buzzer ended for halftime. And so it was a little more than a foul. It was more like a tackle on Caron Butler. He didn't like it at the time, and I don't disagree with him. I mean, he's probably right. I gave it a little extra. And he got ejected, and I got a technical foul, and he got suspended for the very next game. Ended up being a big-time fine, because if you get suspended for a game, obviously you lose a game check as well. So it was an expensive little scrum for Caron. It was only a technical foul for me, but I told him next time our paths crossed, lunch will be on me.
All right, so he lost $20,000 and you bought him a burger. All right, that seems about even. You also
expensive burger.
Yeah, you also had one of the associate head coaches on from Georgia Tech, Eric Revenoe. Real interesting topic, and in the wake of all this social unrest following the death of George Floyd, kind of seems to be catching on, and I think one of the ultimate ways to get young people to understand the value of their vote. What could you tell us about this all vote, no play, and how Coach, staunchly believes in its importance?
Yeah, it was really interesting because, he was one of the first really kind of active on social media coaches that was like, hey, we need to do something about this. We need young people, college-aged student-athletes, to understand a lot of the issues, and you can believe one way or the other as far as Democratic, Republican, that's your prerogative. But we need them to understand that your vote counts when you vote. And that's how real change can be made many times. And so, the life of a college student athlete is very busy. The times are structured for you. And they're dictated by coaches with practices or travel schedules to games. And so his whole thing was like, hey, let's take November 3rd off, the election day, and let's get these people, these young people that we are molding as athletes, but hopefully we're also molding in some way as productive and really solid people in our members of our society. Let's get them to understand the value of voting and letting their voice be heard at the ballot box. And so it started off as something, just a concept, a thought, an idea, and it grew into now what it looks like is a mandated day off for NCAA student athletes as far as no practices or no games so that everybody can vote, which I thought was an awesome idea, and then amazing to see how it came to fruition.
Talking with former Gonzaga All-American, host of the ISO podcast as part of the Believe Podcast Network, Dan Dickow on Twitter. It's at Dan Dickow 21. Today we heard Russ Westbrook tested positive for COVID. We've seen players opt out for multiple reasons. So your general feelings about starting in 2.5 weeks, guys staying in the bubble, actually finishing. Well, what's your confidence level that this could move forward to a finish?
I think it's very high. And one of the reasons being is the NBA is always so proactive with whether it's a social issue, whether it's health, on the mental health awareness side, whether it's, being upfront and aware of the cutting edge technology of fitness. And so when you read the articles and you hear just everything about the guidelines and the protocols that the NBA has put into place, I feel very comfortable and confident that the season is going to finish. Obviously, they got, from my understanding, coronavirus tests have to be negative before they travel, and then a couple days there, they retest again, and then really there's very little in and out, or there will be no in and out contact between players, people in the bubble, and the outside world. You know, even things as small as what I read is, you know, housekeeping and people making their food, there will be no physical contact. It'll be socially distanced every time, you know, they're in the area. So my gut tells me everything's going to work out just fine. I absolutely hope that it does. And, you know, I think if there is a professional sports league that has a chance to get something like this right, it is the NBA, because they've always had such tremendous leadership.
You know, this might seem like such a basic question, but if in fact we get the green light and they start on the 30th, be it the player in you, the fan in you, the radio guy in you, I mean, how much are you just looking forward to getting home one night, kicking back on the couch and watching four or five games?
Yeah, it'll be fun, you know, because it's going to take your mind away from everything else that's been going on in this world the last 4 months, from the coronavirus and the start and the uptick of everything, where you're just kind of glued to the TV and waiting for the next, you know, bit of information, whether it was positive or at the time it seemed like it was all negative. And now, you know, unfortunately, we're trending with a lot of bad information and news again, to the social unrest issues that have been, you know, very prevalent as of late. It'll be nice to just have a break from a lot of that and to be able to watch live sports. I think, you know, a good indicator and a good example of that is, you know, the TBT has been going on ESPN the last week or so. I mean, that's I haven't watched the games from start to finish, but to be able to turn the TV on and see a few minutes of live basketball, live sporting event, it's been a lot of fun as compared to watching cornhole or darts on replay.
A couple final thoughts for Dan Dickow. I've heard some of the pundits talk about, you know, with LeBron, the way he works out, the fact that aside from last year, you know, he'd navigated his way to the finals 8 straight years. L.A. was up 5.5 when the lockdown hit. But now we know Avery Bradley opted out. Today we learn Rajon Rondo broke his thumb. You still think L.A. might be the team to beat in the West?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, you got LeBron, who is arguably still the best player in the league. You've got Anthony Davis, who you could have an argument for being the best player in the league. And at the end of the day, players in tough situations make plays to win or lose a game. And you've got two guys that can make plays at a high level very consistently. So I would not want to bet against the Lakers. But I also do like the Blazers. I like the fact that, you know, Collins and Nurkic seem to be healthy. The fact that they've got Damian Lillard, I mean, he's one of the top five players in the league. I think they're kind of the dark horse. They could surprise some people. But I do think at the end of the day, the Lakers are going to be the team to beat.
Yeah, if Portland gets in, that could be fun. Lastly, as somebody who played in the Pac-10, obviously the passionate fans with the Zags, you spent time in Boston and Portland. No home court edge, just the uniqueness of this. What comes to mind when you think about nobody having that edge, no riding the explosion of the folks in the seats, and how that might factor in during this most unique season?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch. I think it'll be fun to see how it plays out. I mean, you're right that, you know, say a team gets on a nice, you know, gets three quick buckets, maybe a three a layup and another big play, gets a little run going, you get the crowd really into it. That's not going to be the case in these games. It'll be interesting to see if a team is kind of put in a position that a run is made against them. It'll be interesting to see, does a coach call a timeout? Because you don't have to call a timeout now, maybe to calm the crowd down. You would need to call a timeout more so, you know, to relay a message in a huddle with a team. But that might not even be needed, though, because with no fans there, the coach might be able to relay a message in a quiet gym much, much easier.
No, that's a good take. And like I said, that's going to be an X factor we can't account for until it happens. Folks, he's Dan Dickow, host of the ISO on the Believe Podcast Network. He posts all the episodes on his Twitter feed. Use the handle at DanDickow21. Hey, it was great getting a chance to talk to you, wishing you and yours safety and sanity through all this. You be well, and I hope we get a chance to talk again down the road. Thanks a million for your time today, Dan.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and hopefully you and your family stay safe, and take care of the rest of this week.
All right. Hey, have a good one, Dan. Take it easy.